Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio and Going Beyond Medicine. And today we have an incredibly special guest. We have Santa with us. Known as the Santa of Enchantment, Santa Marshall is going to be taking time from his very busy day and talking with us about what it is like to be Santa and to spread love and goodness across the world. Welcome to the show, Santa Marshall.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. So, Santa, please tell us what it is like for you every year as you see humanity evolve. What are you noticing as you're with children that are sharing their thoughts and their concerns for their own life and for the world?
Wow, that's a question worthy of Santa.
Yes, I'm talking to the right guy.
Children, I think, are basically the same now as they have always been, although there are always hard issues that come up. I mean, most of the Santa experience is kind of the traditional experience that you would see on a Christmas story of a child coming and sitting on your lap, and they tell Santa what they want for Christmas, Santa gives them a big hug and a candy cane, and that's the end of that little episode. But there are exceptions. There are always kind of more serious issues that some children bring up, because
yes.
Santa Claus is kind of the last resort for a lot of children, you know, where they have talked to their parents and maybe talked to their counselors and maybe talked to their teachers and about a real problem, and that problem still exists. So they figure they'll go to talk to Santa, who can do some magic and kind of make the problem go away.
Mm. So how do you answer those tough questions, Santa?
Okay, and let me add to that. Those kind of problems have, I think, used the word evolved. I'm not sure if it's an evolution, but there are different kinds of issues that children today bring up compared to a few years ago. And one thing that I won't do with children is tell them that I'm going to make everything better and everything's going to be fine and everything's going to change, because that's just lying, you know.
Right.
But I will promise to do what I can to help in the situation. For example, dealing with a serious illness, I'll tell a child that, when I'm flying in my sleigh, I'll stop in heaven and talk to God about the sick parent or the dead parent or whatever, and see if they can if something can be done. But I won't promise that anything is going to magically change, which Santa is kind of regarded as kind of a magical type of figure, which
right.
has both his good points and his bad points.
Yes, yes. So as you're able to say those things to children, let's say if someone is sick themselves, a child is sick themselves, or as you mentioned, maybe have lost a loved one or a parent is sick, how do they respond to your as you just said, stopping in heaven and having a talk with God?
It varies. Some children are really light up from it, and some there's not maybe that visible reaction, but I think it's it's in general true that you don't really have any knowledge of what your what the consequences, what the of your actions are going to be a day from now, or a week from now, or a year from now. And so you just kind of do the best you can and pray for the best.
That's beautiful. You know, because I think that, and Santa, thank you for being so honest and forthright with kids, because everyone, no matter their age, they deal with tough things. But when they deal with tough things, in particular in their childhood, it, as you said, it can mold the way that they see their world. So what's so important is honesty. Honesty as you're so lovingly able to give to them. So thank you for that.
I would say creative honesty.
Yes.
Honesty can be hurtful too if it's not done the right way.
You're right. Thank you for that clarification, because that's so true, because, you know, it doesn't have to be a blunt honesty, because the reality is we don't always know the end consequence or the end experience, but the outcome. So Santa Marshall, can you tell us, how is it that you became a Santa Claus?
Oh, it's a story that goes back, I guess, to when I was a kid in the Bronx. And I'm not sure exactly how this connection kind of happened. You know, this might have been some kind of evolution, but my family of origin, although I guess you could describe them as basically Christian, they were not open to a lot of the usual reindeer games. You know, they didn't celebrate some of the big holidays. Halloween would be one of them. Christmas would be another one. And so I never... I kind of watched that whole scene from a distance with my friends and playmates in the Bronx. And then that chapter kind of ended. And I got married and had a few kids. And we decided, you know, yeah, we're going to do Christmas. And eventually, I ended up doing Santa Claus, and once I did that, I was kind of typecast to do Santa Claus with my family on a regular basis. I got into social work in about 25 years ago or so, and I was kind of my hair is kind of longer. I was kind of the one who was kind of voluntold. they're going to be Santa at the yearly office party and stuff like that. Which I worked for the state of New Mexico investigating child abuse and neglect.
Oh, so my.
The Santa piece I did was largely with our kids who were in foster care. We'd have a party for them every year. I was also a volunteer fireman in the local town. So I was kind of, again, voluntold. I was going to be Santa at this Christmas fair that they do every year, and I was kind of the guy on riding on the fire truck, waving and throwing candy to all the children. Then I retired and decided I wanted to do this, quote, professionally. So I went to Santa Claus school, and that was a few years ago, and now I'm pretty busy.
I didn't know there was such a thing as Santa school.
Yeah, there are a few around different parts of the country. This one was in Denver.
So, Santa Marshall, how has becoming and stepping into the role as the Santa of Enchantment, How has that changed your perspective of life? How has that changed you personally?
I don't know if there's been a marked change in direction, because I've always believed that, you know, love is kind of the most important thing, not just around Christmas time, but that is the focus. And that also has evolved from my own personal religious beliefs, which are kind of somewhat left of center. But I don't know if this will answer the question for you that well, but what pops into my head was a experience with a, for lack of a better world, a child yesterday. And this was a girl, although I believe she was actually in her 20s.
Hmm.
And she was microcephalic.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had a kind of a strange gait when she walked, and she was nonverbal, but she was just lit up and was the most exciting young lady to see when she saw Sansa, and I had a great time with her.
Mm.
And that in itself is kind of the reward. You know, now I get paid, whereas before I didn't get paid, but I wouldn't do it for the pay if it didn't include the personal experience and the personal rewards for me, as well as knowing I'm providing this to other children, too.
Mm. That's so beautiful, because I know that, you know, especially a child who's nonverbal, they're, you know, their energy is present, their love is still present, even though they can't maybe speak it out loud, but it's evidenced in their excitement,
mm-hmm.
and their joy and their peace.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, it's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So how are you dealing with all of this letters that Santa gets? Do you have helpers?
That depends. In the current setting I'm at now, which is maybe sound like somewhat of an odd setting for Santa's Winter Wonderland, is at a Cabela's store in Albuquerque. And, you know, Cabela's, you know, are partnered with Bass Pro Shops. And so it's very much a sports store, you know, based on selling guns and bows and arrows and crossbows and decoys and targets and stuff like that. So that's kind of interesting. I think, molds what some of the requests are from children. You know, when you have a 12-year-old coming over to you and asking for a new 20-gauge shotgun for Christmas. You know, that's probably something you wouldn't encounter in other settings. I feel like maybe I'm drifting off the original question a little bit.
That's okay. I was asking, you know, about letters to Santa.
Oh, okay.
Which is still the same. You know, you're getting information with your requests. So,
at Cabela's, there's a along where Santa is set up, there are some tables, and they have blank pages to write Santa letters, and there is a Reindeer Express mailbox, and they mail their letters in there. So a lot of them I don't see, but sometimes they'll give me letters personally, and some of them are just kind of so special from the children's drawings of the Santa experience that that I keep them, but there would be really too many to really keep them all.
Sure, of course. But what are some of the things that children ask or write to you? And, you know, letters are so intimate. They're not just wish lists, you know? What are some of the things that children are willing to open their hearts up about to you?
Well, a lot of them are just wish lists, you know. Okay. Beyond the wish list piece is children saying, you know, how much they love Santa, and then you get the occasional wish that kind of surprises you in its level of spirituality, perhaps, you know, wishing for, you know, peace in the Mideast, or, you know, wishing for everybody in the, got a few with the fires in California, that everybody in California is going to be okay. There are those elements there too.
That's so sweet, because, you know, it's so important that we listen. You know, the spirituality is what we are as humans. We are spirit regardless of age. And, you know, I think it's the beauty of the innocence of a child that can see things much more clearly than sometimes the foggy lens of an adult mind can see. So thank you for letting them share their wishes with you. So how busy are you now, Santa? Are you like, do you have your reindeers? You said you were down in Albuquerque. So what happens to the reindeers down in Albuquerque?
Well, I tried to get a FAA permit to land them on the roof of Cabela's, but the
they wouldn't let you?
They wouldn't let me do that. So they're right now, they're at the airport practicing takeoffs and landings.
Touch and goes, they call them.
Yeah, for the big night, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's exciting. So are they all in good health, all of those reindeer?
Yeah, even Randolph.
Randolph?
Yeah. Randolph is Rudolph's grandson.
Oh, very good.
Rudolph's recently retired.
Oh.
Randolph has kind of taken over his platform.
That's wonderful. You know, you got to keep it in the family, right?
Yeah.
Does Randolph also have a red nose?
Yeah, he does.
And so he guides the sleigh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I put on a red nose, too, when I sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That
play,
is so sweet.
Play on my ukulele.
Oh, that's so sweet. So, Santa Marshall, as a child growing up in the Bronx, as you said, how was that to be so immersed in, you know, the glitter of New York City and Macy's Day Parade and all of the decorations and things like that? How was that from a child's perspective? And I'm sure your memory is really clear about that. How was that to see all of that, but not being able to participate in it necessarily?
The Bronx was, you know, kind of a couple steps removed from like the Macy's Day Parade and everything in New York. And I was somewhat of a wild child, and I never did do the Christmas present scene with our family, although we had the excuse that, well, when we visit each other, we bring presents, and we did, you know. So it was compensated for some degree. But I was a kid who would go around and unscrewing Christmas lights from people's front lawns.
Oh, my.
And there was one guy, one house, that they had a sleigh out there that was full of presents, and or full of boxes made to look like presents. And I was bitterly disappointed when, after I plotted to go over there when everything was dark and steal one of the presents, that it was just an empty box.
Well, I guess that gave you an idea of, in a metaphor, you know, if you take something that doesn't belong to you, often it just leaves you empty, doesn't it?
Yeah, I got to remember that because we got these, we got the usual empty boxes wrapped in Christmas wrap at Cabela's. And that's a good answer.
It is.
For the next time I get asked, which is probably a couple times a day, are those, are those real presents?
Well, but also the thought of, you know, helping children understand that when, if they are on that naughty list and they have done something or taken something that doesn't belong to them, it just leaves them empty. It leaves them, you know, with not a good feeling. And to, as you had said, the importance of Santa is to spread love and to help us reignite the love that's within us for one another and for ourselves.
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret.
Please. Are you listening, Remy? He's letting us in on a secret.
There is no such thing as a naughty list.
I know. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Tell us about why that story began.
I assume it had to go, it kind of practice began historically and where there's a whole development of Santa Claus, and in Europe of the 1800s and 1700s, there was, you know, if you were good, you got presents. If you're bad, you got a stocking full of coal, you know. So there was, back then, there was, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, you know, more of an emphasis on it being connected with both, you know, with punishment also.
Yes.
Which is at least something that I don't emphasize, and I think most Santas don't.
Well, I love the fact that you have squashed the myth that there is a naughty list. Because, of course, when a child is naughty, it's because they're crying out for love.
Yeah, or they're tired, or, you know, they're just so kind of worn out, same as the big kids get. You
That's
know?
Right. That's right. Speaking of big kids, how are the big kids when they're in line with the with their children waiting for Santa?
I haven't seen, they're usually pretty sociable and agreeable. I haven't really, very rarely did I ever seen arguments from a parent about somebody budging ahead of them or something like that on the line.
Well, today we are just so, I'm so delighted to be able to speak with Santa Marshall, who is known as the Santa of Enchantment. And you had to come down from the North Pole down to the Southwest. Right? Or do you travel all over?
Actually, there's a misconception too about the North Pole, because the North Pole is just a geographic point.
Ah.
And it's actually in the middle of the Arctic Ocean, which is frozen. But the that kind of aspect of the Santa Claus mythology has its origins in Lapland.
Really?
In northern Finland. And that's close enough, and I actually am on my mother's side. Her parents came from Finland, too. So I've never been out there. That would be nice to see. But the Laps live in teepees, more or less, or at least they had traditional teepee-like structures, and there was a shamanic practices that was kind of one part of the origin of Santa Claus, where they took magic mushrooms and they hung them on their pine trees to dry them out, and then they, after they dried out a little bit, they put them in socks and hung them over the fireplace to complete the drying process.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Santa Claus is a real mixed bag of a whole lot of different origins. You know, Christian connection with Santa Claus is kind of something that is not really emphasized too much in the sitting in the mall with doing your Santa thing. But, you know, it still underlies everything, too. It's I guess, the universality of values of light and love and sharing that transcends both the European concept of Santa Claus with the shamanic. I think it would not be unfair to say that some of the origins of some of the Christmas practices do have pagan roots to them, too. Mm.
Well, Santa, we need to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. My guest is Santa Marshall, who is known as the Santa of Enchantment, a wonderful guest for today and for this season in particular, but for us to have as part of our hearts every day of the year. We'll be right back.
When I come back, I'll tell you where that Santa of Enchantment came from.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. This is Elaine Grohman from Going Beyond Medicine. Stay with us.
You're listening to Empower Radio, an entire radio station devoted to your personal development, expanding your conscious awareness, and empowering positive change. Meet our hosts and listen online at empowerradio.com, on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes, or download the Empower Radio app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free in the App Store, and it lets you listen to our shows and podcasts on demand. Empowering people, empowering change. Empower Radio, online at empowerradio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Did you know that 7 in 10 girls believe they are not good enough or don't measure up in some way? I'm Amy Poehler. You may know me from film and television, but I'm also involved off-screen, encouraging young girls to be proud of who they are. Body image breakdowns and the pressure to be perfect often causes a girl's self-esteem to plummet. But by being positive role models, we can change that. The number one wish among girls is for their parents to communicate better with them, including more frequent and more open conversations. So get involved and start talking. Begin a conversation with a girl in your life about the importance of self-esteem. Tell her why she is beautiful and set an example by avoiding negative self-talk. You can make a difference in the lives of girls, and that is no laughing matter.
This message was brought to you by American Women in Radio and Television and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Self-Esteem Fund, working together to raise self-esteem in girls everywhere. To learn more, go to campaignforrealbeauty.com. Thank you for making a difference.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Smile. You found Empower Radio.
Now back to Elaine Grohman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and my special guest today is Santa Marshall, known as the Santa of Enchantment. And he was graciously offered to explain how did that phrase Santa of Enchantment come into being. Welcome back to the show.
It's pretty simple. the motto of the state of New Mexico is the land of enchantments.
Ah.
So I just kind of borrowed part of it.
Well, it's a perfect, that's a perfect borrow.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, you sent me something very poignant when you had spoken on, you said your second day of sitting as Santa, sitting in the chair, as you say, when there was a little girl who, after presenting you with some of her wishes, asked about the children in the cages.
Yeah, that really blew me away.
Can you tell us about that?
It was just a little girl, maybe 4, maybe 5 years old. And I'll get to the part of the show where the children share with Santa what they would like for Christmas.
Yes.
And her wish was that she wished that all the children in cages were set free.
Did she elaborate what she meant?
No, not really, but I mean, it was obvious she was referring to the migrant situation on the border with, Texas is kind of one of the big areas, but also the other states that share that border, which would be Arizona and New Mexico.
Yes.
And California.
So how did you respond to her concern?
That is kind of one of those questions that you don't want to promise something that you can't deliver on, you know, because what happens when children are not set free? But it was kind of an answer I will see what, you know, I can do to help out. You know, maybe I can visit with some of these children, which is pretty hard to do, but I'm kind of looking into it so I can get down to one of those centers. Mm. But they're pretty secure. They don't just let any old Santa in. And you know, just acknowledged the love and hope of and selflessness of her wish.
Yes, I wonder if there's a way to share, and certainly with your permission, Santa, I would like to, when I broadcast this, when it's the podcast is airing, that, you know, I think it's important that people know globally what children's concerns are. Because they can open the hearts of others. You know, we see one another foolishly as if we are somehow different than one another just because our skin is different or we come from a different place. Mm-hmm. But we're all in this to appreciate and enjoy life and to be treated with kindness and respect.
Well, I think that seeing each other differently because of the color of your skin or your culture might be different than their culture. That's a learned behavior.
Exactly.
With children, there is no difference.
No. Children see with purity, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So as you have been going around the world, and in particular focusing in Santa Fe area, New Mexico, Albuquerque, all of that area, that land of enchantment, What is the hopes and dreams of the children besides the concerns or their wishes? What do they dream? How do they share their dreams for their future with you?
I think most children are more here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, kind of a rare thing that you will have a bright and shiny star that comes out and kind of expresses a wish, you know, for about children who are experiencing some kinds of loss or grief issues. But it does happen. Kids are meant to be kids, and kids are meant to be fun, have fun. And it's but occasionally there's a ringer in there that sees things from 300 miles out in space, you know, instead of right up in your face kind of closeness.
Yes. Santa, since you are able to hear these beautiful and heartfelt requests, and since, after all, you are Santa and the Santa of Enchantment, does that give you some entree, perhaps, to go to individuals that maybe are in positions of authority and say, this is what these children need, whether it's a corporation in your area, or whether it's, you know, a municipality or a city or a township or whatever? Do you get any opportunities to bring these very important concerns to those who may be able to begin to make the difference?
Not as much as I would like, and I do enjoy that. And, you know, I still do a one-day Santa event here in Estancia, which is a very small town in New Mexico. But it's hard to kind of get through a lot of the doors that organizations have kind of set up. There's, I think, and understandably so, there's kind of a guardedness about going into settings such as hospitals and treatment centers and stuff like that. Where, first of all, they probably, chances are, they have their own Santa that they're working with. But then there's also the issues of record checks and background checks and professional insurance and maintaining confidentiality about the children who are, in this case, they'd be patients or clients, you know, and that's something that does need to be done too. So it's something I'm working at, but it's hard to get your foot in the door to do that kind of thing. It's kind of surprising that people are not more open to that.
Well, Santa, I have a thought. What if, and I think in secretly I might be a Santa's elf. What if you were to do a letter from Santa to the people of the world, to the people of in positions of authority? Instead of you being the recipient of the letters, what if you were able to share in a letter form on Facebook, on Twitter, or whatever it is? This is what Santa hears. This is what Santa knows. This is what children are divulging to him. They're beautiful, heartfelt concerns.
I might have kind of had that thought, but I didn't really get it was just something in passing. But now that you mentioned it, it sounds better and better. I do have a website, and I do have a Facebook page. And
what is your website, Santa?
It's www.santaofenchantment.com.
Okay.
And same thing for the Facebook page, Santa of Enchantment, is the name of the Facebook page.
Ah, I see your face. Yes. Uh-huh. That is a perfect picture of you, Santa. Fantastic. So what if you were to do that, what if I would be happy to post whatever you had?
Okay. That's a deal.
Okay, because I got quite a few listeners and contacts and so does Empower Radio. And after all, Empower Radio is designed to help to empower the voices of those that are wise. And sometimes the wisest ones among us are our children.
And one thing I started this year, too, which is really my daughter's suggestion, started a GoFundMe page to get Christmas presents and buy stuff for children that are more needy. It's, again, difficult to find people who need the help and are willing to accept the help. People are pretty proud, you know. But I live in New Mexico. I live in Torrance County, which is the has the lowest income of any place in New Mexico. And New Mexico is kind of down towards the bottom of the list, too, in with regard to incomes and services and education and we're going to see where that goes.
Well, and as a former social worker, Santa, how are you seeing, or are you seeing any changes there? I mean, obviously people in government recognize that there's a great need. Is there any changes to help, or any thoughts in place to help change that?
What comes to mind is, you know, there are volunteer group or groups that are trying to get into the family detention centers where migrants have been detained and kind of locked up, and to work with them, bilingually, and work, help them kind of negotiate the system. That's kind of something that I haven't seen before. All this stuff with the migrant issue that has come up this year to the top of the pile.
Sure, Santa. As I'm looking on your website, I see you in talking with a little elf. Tell us about these little elves that help you, especially very popular as of late is the Elf on the Shelf kind of characters.
Yeah, now I'm still learning about Elf on the Shelf. I didn't know anything about the Elf on the Shelf until I went to Santa school.
Oh.
It's an interesting kind of, I'm not even sure the best way to describe it, a parental tool.
Mm-hmm.
They have these cute little elves that are 9 or 10 inches high, dressed in red. And there are boy elves and girl elves, and there are white elves and black elves, and the one I got is kind of brown. Because around, that's kind of a good choice in New Mexico.
Sure.
And so what the elves do is they report up their chain of command and then report to Santa about if children have been nice or naughty, despite what I said about naughty before.
Right.
I have my elf on the shelf out, and I'll get a few times a day, children know what they are and have one, and they'll ask what my elf's name is, so I'll tell them, and then I'll they'll ask if I know their elf's name.
And what is your elf's name, Santa?
What often comes out of my mouth is something like Gimli. You know Gimli?
No, I don't know Gimli. Please
Gimli,
tell us.
Gimli is one of the characters from Tolkien.
Oh,
so yeah. They've got, Tolkien has some very interesting names. In fact, the movies, when they had the elves talking to other elves and other characters, they actually talked in Finnish, because Finnish is such an unusual language. It doesn't sound like anything else. And there we go back to the Samis and the Laps up in Lapland again.
Yeah.
So the children will ask, well, what's my elf's name? And I say something like, Frodo or something. And, no, that's not right. and I said, well, that's his elf name. That's what I know. Yeah, so there are all these little kind of tricks of the trade there to kind of make it appear that you are present with them 365 days a year.
Well, I'll tell you, Santa, three of my grandchildren who live in Louisiana, they are so enamored with the Elf on the Shelf that my grandson has, and my granddaughter now has pitched in to make him a condo in their house.
Okay.
That is literally on a shelf in their kitchen. That has a bed and has everything that a little elf would need.
Mm-hmm.
Because boy, when the countdown comes to Christmas, he is cleaning out the rabbit cage. He's doing all kinds of fun stuff at their house, helping the kids out with their chores.
And I often hear from children who have those elves that they move around.
Oh yeah.
They're in one place, and then you go back, and they're somewhere else.
Yeah, you have to go on an elf hunt.
And you know, you're not supposed to touch them, or they disappear for a while.
Oh.
So they have their own rules of the universe there.
So Santa, tell us about how you're teaching love. Tell us about the lessons of love that we need to know.
It's hard for me to, I think, talk about that without at least touching in tangent on A Course in Miracles.
Please do so.
Which I think has a lot of wisdom to it. It's I'm not sure how many people out there are familiar with it, but it's a book with somewhat controversial origins, which you can take or leave, but the stuff that's inside the book is very much focused on love, and the thing that comes to mind about love is the world is, as we see it through filters of our own glasses, is basically dualistic.
Mm.
You know, good, bad, hot, cold, etc. But the one exception to that is love, which is something for which there is no opposite. It kind of stands on its own and is kind of the foundation for pretty much everything else that flows out of it, you know, in the form of other religions and so on. So, the more focused I can be on love, the better it is for me and the better it is for everybody else around me. That's, I try to teach that.
Hmm. And so how do you help children that you know are challenged to feel that love, to feel that, and to trust love and the power of love that's within their own little self?
That comes to a focus, you know, getting more into adolescence. You know, when you get to the stage where you're not quite buying the idea that Santa is visiting and bringing all the presents and riding around in a sleigh and stuff like that. So what I try to do is kind of redirect that internally, you're looking for Santa in the wrong places.
That
where you need to look for Santa is in your own heart. And they kind of get it, you know. I see them kind of light up a little bit, and some more than others. But, you know, after 12, 13, 14 years, it's kind of hard to kind of believe in that anymore. But I also have had adults, you know, who 35, 40 years old, developmentally disabled, who are very childlike, and it's a very interesting scene to have a 40-year-old, 300-pound guy sitting on your lap who still believes in Santa Claus.
Mm. Oh, sweet. You know, it's so important because we all, you know, we all really need to be able to maintain that childlike innocence within us, no matter our age, because love is what it's all about, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah. So, Santa, are you keeping busy every day? Do you get any rest?
Right now, I probably work 3 out of 5 days.
Mm.
And as we get closer, and I'm just right now working at Cabela's. But as we get more into December, I'm doing other appearances at different events. Like I've got one coming up December 1st for a group called Edgewood Woman Aid.
Oh.
And they're actually doing a fundraiser to you know, meet the Christmas needs of more needy families, and the fundraiser involves taking pictures of, you know, sitting in Santa's lap kind of thing, and I haven't done that one before. We'll see how that one goes, but it sounds like it'll be good.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, you know, and I'm sure that once you start to remind people of this, you know, that this is the time that we the part of the year that we carve aside to be our best selves. But I'm sure you're constantly reminding them, everyone, that this is how we're supposed to be all the time. This is how we're supposed to be all the time. Loving.
Yes.
And part of bringing everyone together in the best possible way.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's great. So, As Santa, how's Mrs. Claus, by the way?
She's fine. She's the other side of the house right now.
Well, please give her my love.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't do too much Mrs. Claus stuff. She kind of checks that I'm groomed properly.
Well, you know, for a guy that's so busy, that's quite a job.
And she's busy in her own right, too.
Yes, of course. She certainly is. Lord knows that's true. Oh, Santa, this is so delightful. So we just have a couple more minutes. What would you like to share with those on the airways? We'll start with your letter. How about you do an oral letter from Santa? And then we'll go from there. I'll help you to spread it around the world.
One thing that I started a couple years ago, which worked out pretty well, is I started initiating children as junior elves.
Oh, how fantastic.
And besides being a Santa, I'm also a Sufi Santa too.
Ooh.
And the leader of the it's called the Inyati order right now is an amazing man. His name is Pir Zia, and his father was Pir Vilayat, and Pir Vilayat's father was Hazrat Inayat Khan, who is very well known. But I got the idea from Pir Zia. He has developed a program of knighthood and chivalry around spiritual practices, where there are these series of progressive rules that you kind of make the guiding principles of your life. So I borrowed that, and instead of the rules that are there, I put things in there like I promise to try to not fight with my brothers and sisters. I promise to eat all my vegetables, and I promise to brush my teeth, and I promise to be nice to everybody, and I promise to take care of my dogs and cats. Those kind of rules there, and it turned it into a ceremony where I have a 6-foot staff that with a star on it, which actually was supposed to go on top of a Christmas tree that lights up. And so I have them hold the staff as they make these promises.
Oh, very powerful.
To be a junior elf, and then they get a certificate.
I'd love to be a junior elf.
That they are officially now recognized as a junior elf and entitled to all the privileges and responsibilities of the office thereof or something.
Oh, that's fantastic. I hope you can do that across the airwaves to a little Irish elf here in Michigan. And Remy, too. Mm-hmm. We can imagine we're holding that staff. Well, mm-hmm. Santa, our time is up, as it always goes so quickly. And my guest has been the Santa of Enchantment, Santa Marshall. And I want to thank you for all that you do to make life more beautiful, more hopeful, more loving for children across the globe. You are a gift to us all.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. And Merry Christmas to you.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. This is Elaine Grohman for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. You, too, can put that spark of joy and love in every moment of every day. It's up to you. You have that power. See you soon.